You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Truth in that song there. I love that. Thank you. Appreciate that. Have you noticed? Brother Cole's getting a little gray on top. I don't know if you've noticed that a little bit, brother. But you still got the youth. He's still got the power in that voice. And boy, just every time. There are certain people in our church that literally, if I told them when Brother Cole was singing, they would only come when Brother Cole was singing. And so that's why we don't tell you, all right? Because we want you to be here. And that way, if you're not here, you just miss out, okay? But thank you so much, Brother Cole. What a blessing he has been through the years. Philippians chapter 4 in your Bibles this morning. Philippians chapter number 4. As we're getting to the end of this series, more and more I'm seeing how the theme of the mind comes through in all the verses here in Scripture. And we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 13. Now, probably everybody here would know verse 13, unless you're just brand new to church. But even people that are in worldly or in the world or whatever, they sometimes will quote this verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so we're going to look at this verse, but that verse probably, I hate to burst your bubble, but it probably doesn't mean what you think it means. And so we're going to look at it today, and it'll be at the end part there, but we're going to look at verses 10 through 13 in context with what's happening in the Scripture passage here, with what Paul is talking about. And I want to preach a message entitled, To Be Content. To be content. And you'll see those words in this text as we look at Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10. The Bible says, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So we've looked through this passage, and we've been going through this book, and in Philippians chapter 4, we saw Paul really getting to the key of how to get peace in your life. And a lot of that has to do with just thought control, being careful what you're thinking about. When you can do that, and you can be careful for nothing but take it to prayer, and instead of letting everything become a worry, you take those things to God in prayer. And then, verse 8 talking about choosing what to think about, choosing what not to think about, dwelling upon things that are true and real, dwelling upon things that are pure and righteous and of that nature. And all of that kind of stuff is going along with the theme of, hey, controlling what you're thinking about and making sure that you're thinking on the right things. And so as we're dealing with that, there's another aspect to it. And the aspect that we see here is now Paul goes from talking about peace and talking about practicing what you preach in verse number 9 there, doing the things you know you ought to do, to now he's talking about being content. And how does that correlate? How does that fit in? We're going to talk about it a little bit, and I want you to look again, if you would, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to look at verse 10 again and kind of explain a couple things and just dive right in. Father, I pray you'd help us now as we're getting into Scripture. Lord, I don't want to be distracting to anybody. I don't want to get in the way of you and what you want to do, and I pray that you'd work in our hearts. I pray that if there's anybody here today that is not sure that they're going to heaven, they're not sure that Christ is their Savior, that their sins have been paid for, I pray that today would be the day that they're able to accept you as Savior. Lord, I pray for those today that maybe today's a hard day for them. I pray that you'd give them peace in their hearts and comfort, knowing that you, God, are the perfect Heavenly Father, and that you are a father to the fatherless, and you are good to everybody, and I thank you for that. I pray you bless our time in church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 10 says, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Paul is in prison. Paul is in prison, chained up to a Roman soldier, and this little section. And when you were a prisoner back in these days, it wasn't like they were like, "Hey, we're gonna feed you, we got a TV for you." No, you were relying upon people outside to help you. You were relying upon them. And Paul is saying, "Hey, I'm glad that the care for me that you had has revived again, flourished, it has blossomed again." So what does that mean? It means that Epaphroditus, who we looked at earlier in Philippians, had come and had brought some things to Paul, and he was saying, "Hey, thank you so much that it has come again to me." Now, Paul, I love what he says next here, because he was concerned with how people felt. You know, and so when he says here in verse 10, "I rejoice that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again," it can almost sound like he's saying, finally, you brought me the things I needed. So he clarifies and says, "Wherein ye were also careful." You did care, but you lacked opportunity. He said, I know you cared. It's not that you lacked opportunity, but I'm thankful that you were able to revive that care again. And so he's talking about getting care in the prison. But then look what he says next in verse 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want." He's saying, I'm not saying this because I lack something. I'm not saying this because I need something. He says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am," whether he's in prison, shipwreck, wherever, "therewith to be content." Wow. "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." We're talking about contentment. What are people usually discontent with? What are people the most discontent with? First of all, possessions. People are discontent with their possessions. And let's be honest, we are included in that category sometimes. We're discontent with what we have. We see the commercial. Amazon seems to know us real well and says, "You would like this." And you look at it and you're like, "You know what? I would like that. Thank you, Amazon, one click buy," or whatever. And sometimes we can become discontent. We can have everything we think we need, and then we see something else, and it's like, "I'll never be happy until I have that." And so we can get very materialistic in our society. If we're being honest, even us Christians, we can get very greedy. We got to have the new this, we got to have that. And so a lot of times people become discontent with their possessions, always wanting more. We can also become discontent with our personality. Some people wish they had the personality of other people. "I wish I could go up there and speak like that. I wish I could sing like that or have the guts to do that. I wish I, you know, had that Mr. Outgoing type A personality. I wish I had." And sometimes we can be discontent with who we are. And this is a thing. "I wish I had the charisma of that person." Really, sometimes it's "I wish I was popular too." And people can get discontent with that. People get discontent with their appearance. With their appearance. "Oh, Pastor, that never happens." Really? Have you seen all the makeup ads on television? Have you seen all the Botox ads? By the way, it works real well. I just want to tell you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. But if I'd go in there, they'd say, "There's nothing we can do for you. We're sorry. Get out." But we have a problem. Because why do we have an appearance problem? Because the very companies who are telling you, "Here's something to help your appearance problem," are giving you the complex. You're faulty. You need to remove all this stuff off your face because you're disgusting to look at. And we're obsessed with looks in our society. And it's not just, you know, because it's our fault. I'm saying everything is geared to this, to make you think that you're ugly, make you think that you need this or that, and to really make you discontent. You need the new facial scrub. You need this. You need the cosmetic surgery. And it's a problem. The thing is, God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. Some people are discontent with their place in life. They hate their job. They hate their family. They hate their circumstances. And there's many other things to be discontent with. But it's an affliction that is self, it's a self-inflicted wound. And so what can we learn about this? So there's three simple truths out of verse 11, 12, and 13 that I want you to see regarding contentment this morning. Number one, I want to say this. Contentment must be learned. Contentment must be learned. Now, you say, why do you say that? Look at verse 10, look at verse 11 and 12. Paul said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned." I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. It didn't just happen. Then he says in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, which is the same phrase as I have learned. I have learned how to do this, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Contentment is not a natural state for anybody. Why? Because we have a flesh, and our flesh desires and lusts. The Bible says in James 4, 2, and 3, ye lust, which means desire. You desire, you lust, and you have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts, or upon your desires. Because why? Because we're constantly desiring things. Let me prove it to you. Next time you go to the grocery store, watch the parents with toddlers and little kids. Ever see how content those kids are? I haven't ever, because my kids are some of them, you know, and we have to like give them the little talk before we go in. We're not here for you. Okay. We're not asking for stuff in the store today, okay? Because why? If you don't say that in a kind way, you know, we're not asking for things in the store, then what's going to happen? They're going to see the new cereal, extra sugar this, you know, Cocoa Puffs, whatever, and they're going to think to themselves, they were fine before they walked in, you know, even a toy shop or something. You know, you pass through the toy aisle at Target or Walmart or wherever you shop, and something inside of that kid will tell them, they cannot possibly ever be happy unless they have it. And so, got to have that. And they're obsessed about it. And they're talking about it. And they're discontent now. And then what happens? What happens if you buy it for them? They play with it. Maybe 5 days. Maybe. Sometimes it's 1 or 2 days. And then what happens? There's the commercial on TV for the new one. Oh, this Ninja Turtle has a red belt now. I gotta have it, you know? And we're so discontent, and we get that way. Now, I'll tell you, we're gonna, you know, before we judge kids too harshly, let's talk about some of the adults that are big kids too, all right? Oh, Pastor, I don't need that. Oh, yeah, what about September when the new one comes out? Yeah, every September. Why does Apple need to produce 2 new phones every year? Is it because their technology every 6 months is so different, so amazing? No, it's because they want you to say, oh, you got the old one? Check out the new one. It's green now. And so you'll feel that way. And you will feel discontent. And you got to have it. And look at this old junky one. It's a year old. Oh, I can barely touch it. And it could be a car. It could be whatever. Got to have the new one. And we get that way because we get discontent. I read a story about a pilot who would always fly over a certain valley in the Appalachians. And when he flew over, he would always look at a certain place. And one day, his co-pilot was just, every time we fly over this, you're always staring at this one spot. What is so interesting about that spot? And the pilot said, well, you see that stream down there? So when I was a kid, I used to sit on a log right there and fish in that stream. And every time an airplane flew over, I would look up and wish I were flying. And he said, and now every time I fly over, I look down and wish I was there fishing. It's a state of being. We can live in the state of discontentment. So contentment has to be learned. A kid does not grow up just content, and we don't become adults and all of a sudden just become content. It has to be learned, but the bad part is that oftentimes it has to be learned out of necessity. And that's how Paul learned. Take your Bible, if you would, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And I want you to see that Paul had to learn contentment out of necessity. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. I want to show you just a couple things here quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you look down at verse number 4. 2 Corinthians 6 verses 4 and 5. The Bible says in the passage there, I hope not going too quick, I hope you found it there, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, it says this, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in strife, which are whips, you know, they're whipping on his back, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Look, if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Go to chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, just a couple verses here, we'll move on. So he said, when I'm going through all of those things, I have to learn some stuff. 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 24, the Bible says this, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. 40 stripes, save one, so 39. 39 times he got whipped with a whip. 39 lashes. Five times he went through that. Okay? Thrice was I beaten with rods. Three times beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have spent in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Paul had been through some stuff. And that's why when we look at Philippians, he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I have learned when I was hungry, he suffered hunger. He suffered homelessness. He suffered harm. He suffered humiliation. And when he went through those things, he was forced to learn contentment. Contentment. Ushers, if you could help me out today, please. Contentment. So as we're learning these things here, how about this? How about we start practicing now so we don't have to learn it during the hard times, what contentment is? It has to be learned. So you might as well start learning now. Number two, I want to say this. Contentment must be learned. But secondly, this is good. Contentment brings peace. Contentment brings peace. Philippians chapter number 4, we're looking at verse number 12. Contentment brings peace. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. He's not complaining. He's not complaining. He's not saying, you know, I since I have to go through this, it's a horrible life. He's saying, I have learned. I have learned how to deal with these things. I don't know what you may be forced to deal with in your life. I don't know what has come down the pike for you. I don't know what situation is going on in your life, but what I'm saying is, and what we have learned from Philippians chapter 4, is that you can have peace even in the midst of a storm. And so if you can learn contentment, contentment can give peace in every situation and circumstance in life, because contentment is unaffected by what's going on around you. You can have that contentment. Notice the conditions that Paul said, that he was adaptable to, and all of them. And he was adaptable to these conditions because of contentment. In verse 12, it says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. What's that mean, abased and abound? Abased means to be of low status, to be of humble means, to not have anything. And to abound means having more than enough. He said, I know what it is to live in poverty or live where I have no means to do anything. And I know how it is to abound and to have things. He wasn't a rich man, but he said, I know that. Then he says there, in everywhere, in all things. In other words, in any place I go, in any circumstance I get into, I've learned how to be content with it. And then he says, to be full and to be hungry. I'm hungry. Are you hungry right now? Don't think about it, all right? Stop thinking about your hunger, okay? We'll have you out in plenty of time, okay, to get some food. But full and hungry. He said, hey, when there was food on the table, I know how to deal with that. And when there was no table even, I knew how to deal with that. And then he says there, both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, rich or poor. When I've had more than enough or when I had a great need. Here's the thing, and here's what you need to hear. People think that it would be so easy to be content if they had riches. We think that way. Pastor, it'd be so easy to be content if I was rich. And you would be absolutely wrong. You'd be absolutely wrong. Why? It is often the people that abound are the most discontent. Many times it's the person with nothing who is the most content. And by the way, there are things money cannot buy you. Hey, money can make life a little easier. I get that. I'm not pretending that's not true. But money cannot buy you a cure to some diseases. There are things money cannot buy. It cannot buy you peace in your heart, cannot buy you joy. Things will never bring you joy. And so when we're seeing this here, we have to change our thinking on that. We need to stop thinking that contentment comes through things. And if I just get the next one, then I will be content. Things will never produce lasting joy or peace. Contentment, listen to this. Contentment has nothing to do with what you have and everything to do with how you think. Can I say that again? Contentment has nothing to do with what you have and everything to do with how you think. You can have, I heard a quote in Bible college, you can have everything you want if you just want everything you have. If all you want is what you have, then you have everything you want. It's about how you think. So we need to get our mind on what you have and what God has blessed you with. That's the theme of the book, is thinking. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation, your behavior, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Being content is the opposite of being needy. Being content is the opposite of being needy. We had, last week we had Brother Glenn and Brother Jim here. Operation Mordecai, they do church security and they do a bunch of other stuff. They're both ex-military guys. And so Glenn was supposed to fly out on Thursday. And so they were going to travel back Thursday, and Glenn and Jim were going to fly out. And he gives me a call, because we were going to meet up for lunch before they flew out. And he says, Pastor, my flight got canceled. I was like, man, I'm so sorry to hear that. Welcome to L.A., my friend. And so I said, well, let me get you a hotel room and all that. He said, no. He said, no. I was just wondering if I could just bunk down at the church. I was like, Brother Glenn, no. I'm going to get you a hotel room. We'll make sure you get some food. He's like, no, I'm fine. No, really. He said, save your money. I'm completely fine. I don't want to. I don't want to stay at a hotel. I was like, what are you talking about? Are you sure? And he's like, no, I want to just let me stay at the church. It'll be fine. I don't need to do anything else. And so he comes in, and he gets here. And I said, okay, Brother Glenn, I'm going to get you some dinner in just a little while. It's my anniversary. So I said, I'm skipping out of here in like real soon. It was almost 4 o'clock, and I had a hot date that night with my wife. So we were gonna go. And so I was like, I'll have somebody drop you off some dinner. We'll get you a hotel. And he said, Pastor, I didn't even plan on eating. I don't need to eat. I just need a place to lay down. It could be on the floor, anywhere, a couch, a chair. And I was like, brother, I felt bad, but he's like, no, really. He said, anywhere I can just sleep is good with me. And so I said, are you sure? And I asked him again and again. And he said, I'm positive. So he slept somewhere in this church. I don't know where it was. Maybe on your seat. I don't know. I don't know where he slept, you know. I gave him a couple options. And then Brother Chad, I asked, and he volunteered to give him some dinner and some different things. Took him to the airport the next morning. Very thankful for that. But, you know, I look at that and think he was not a needy person. It was like, if I could just have a place to lay down. Can I tell you, we've had other people come in, other pastors, and they call ahead. I need this type of vegetable in my hotel room. I need this many bottles of water. I need this type of thing because I don't eat this, and I don't eat this, and I need this, and I need this. And when I get there, I also need a rental car. And we're like, okay, all right. So high maintenance, good. Okay, that's fine. You know, we'll take care of it. I remember just carrying gallons of water to somebody's car. Like, you know, they have water everywhere. Do you really need this for the day you're here? You know, or whatever. And vegetables and all this kind of stuff. There's a difference between being needy and just being content. And I'm not going to tell you who it was, so I'm not judging that person. But there's a difference between the two. And when you learn contentment, you learn more about peace. Why? Because there's not a war raging inside. Gotta have. Can I confess my sin to you this morning? Some of you are like, please. I've been waiting on the gossip, please. When we went to Florida with my wife and had a family reunion a couple weeks ago, I'm a bit of a guitar fanatic. I love guitars. I'm not even going to tell you how many I have, so I'm slightly ashamed of that. I have several guitars. And if you ever go to my house, you'll see my guitar wall, okay? I love guitar. I don't golf. I don't spend money doing all that kind of stuff, okay? So don't judge me, but I do like my guitars. And so I looked up in Florida, Brother Delgado, I see, you know, we're kindred spirits here. And I looked up in Florida if they had McPherson guitars, and they did. Well, let me just help you. McPherson guitar would be like the Rolls Royce kind of a guitar, like that echelon. There are some that are more expensive, but the guy was an engineer and he formed the perfect guitar, and it's just, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so I found out they had them at a shop 20 minutes away. I don't have any in California that I know of. And so when we flew down there, I was like, hey, family, I'm going to go see this guitar. You know, I was like, I need to get out of here. And so we drove like 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and I walked in, and they're $10,000 each, the guitars, the $10,000 each. And I sat there and just coveted. I was just coveting, looking at the wall, and I was thinking, all my guitars are trash. I need this one, you know. And I don't really feel that way, but I sat there and I played probably $50,000 worth of guitars, just sitting there and just had a great time. But you know what? I thought to myself, it'll get it out of my system. It's not out of my system, folks. By the way, my birthday is July 6th. But anyway, I was looking at that, and I realized, like, I come home, and I'm so thankful for my guitars and everything, but it started a little bit in me of a little bit of a lack of peace, because I knew I wanted something, and it wasn't bad to have it, but I wasn't content. I don't think it's wrong to want things, but it's wrong when it changes your spirit to feel like you're lacking. When it changes who you are, when it makes you lose peace over it, that's when the balance has been, there's been a shift in the balance and it's not good anymore. When you no longer have peace in your heart because of something, it's like the quote from John D. Rockefeller. At one point, he was the world's richest man. In fact, because he was rich, he was the first American billionaire. And because he was that rich in the early 1900s, I think it was, that people still consider him to be the richest person in history because of the monetary change and everything. A reporter once asked John D. Rockefeller and said, how much money is enough, John? And he said, just a little bit more, just a little bit more. And that's the discontentment that we can feel sometimes. And when you're losing peace over it, then it's showing you it's wrong. Master contentment and you will find a new degree of peace. I want to say lastly this morning, contentment is learned. You have to learn this trait. You have to work at it. But contentment can bring you peace when you do learn it. But then lastly, contentment comes through faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. That's where the contentment comes from. And that's the true meaning of Philippians 4:13. Look at it again. So Paul says, hey, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound, and everywhere in all things I'm instructed to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's saying I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. It's talking about Christ strengthening them, okay? Now, people use this verse to claim a lot of stuff. People use it to say they can win basketball games, and I can do all things through Christ. I can beat this team in basketball, or they use it as motivation to work out. You know, they put it on their mirror or whatever it is. But we need to see the context. It's in reference to contentment. That's the context of this verse. It's referencing contentment. What's Paul saying? Paul is saying, I can make it through anything with Jesus. That's what he's saying. I can face down any situation because I am in Christ. That is the true meaning of the verse. He's not saying, I can bench press 400 pounds because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can shoot 5 under at the PGA tournament because I can do all things through Christ. And that's not what he's saying. He's saying, no matter what situation I'm in, no matter how bad it gets, no matter what I'm facing, if God put me there, God can bring me through. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because God can get me through. I can be content and I can rest confident in Christ because I know who my Redeemer is. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. In Paul's day, there were people called Stoics. Stoics. They regarded contentment as the utmost virtue. Contentment. In fact, the Roman philosopher, the famous Roman philosopher, Seneca. Seneca was a Stoic, and he said, the happy man is content with his present lot, no matter what it is, and is reconciled to his circumstances. That sounds nice. But their motivation was to say, I'm so self-dependent that I don't need anybody else or anything else. That is the complete opposite of what Paul was saying. Because even though it sounds like, in fact, Kent Hughes, a preacher, said, the Stoic ideal was a kind of self-contained Superman who could rise above it all in independent self-sufficiency and serenity. So they're saying, I'm a Stoic. I don't need anything because I am just that great of a person, and I am so reliant upon myself, I can rise above everything else. That's not the biblical way. Because what's Paul saying here? Just like Paul, we cannot be content through our independence. That's not where contentment comes. We can be content because of our total dependence upon God. Your contentment is not, I'm just such a great person, I don't need anything else. No, we can be content because of our total dependence upon God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Him. If I totally depend upon Him, if I live in faith and in confidence in Christ, then I can say, I don't need anything else. The Lord is my shepherd. How does it end? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not lacking anything because God's taken care of me. I close with this. I read a true story. There was an ancient Persian man named Ali Hafed, and he owned a very large farm that had orchards, grain fields, and gardens. He was very wealthy. He was a content man. He was content with what he had. One day, he had a guest over, and he entertained this guest, and the guest told him about diamonds and how, you know, how he would be he'd be so rich and so wealthy if Ali just owned a diamond mine, and he needed to own a diamond mine. And so Ali Hafed went to bed that night really a poor man because he was so discontented with what he had. He began to crave a mine of diamonds, and so he sold his farm so that he could go search for rare stones. And he traveled all over the world. And he became so poor because he didn't find any. He became broken and became defeated. In fact, he committed suicide. He was so content with what he had. He had a lot, but then he left. Sold it all away for a dream and wound up committed suicide. One day, the man who purchased Ali Hafed's home was taking his camel to drink. And as the camel put its nose into the brook that was on the property, the man who owned the farm now saw a flash of light in the sands of the stream. He knelt down, picked it up, and he pulled out a stone. It was magnificent. It had all the hues of the rainbow, the prism, you know, just a beautiful, beautiful diamond. And what he had discovered that day, that man had discovered on Ali's property, was the mine of Golconda. You may not know the mine of Golconda, but it is the most famous, magnificent diamond mine in all of history. The Hope Diamond that we know about in Washington came from the mine of Golconda. What Catherine the Great used to wear around her neck, the diamond, came from that mine. Most of the famous diamonds in the world came from that mine on that man's property. But what had happened? Had Ali Hafed remained at home and just dug in his own garden, he would have discovered acres of diamonds that are still famous to this day. In fact, at one point, it was the only diamond mine in the world. It was producing so many diamonds. Instead, he experienced death in a strange land. Why? Because he began to look for something when he already had it. And I tell you, oftentimes, as Christians, we feel like we're lacking when we've got everything we need. You've got God. You've got God. What else could you need? Don't become so discontent that you lose the peace of God in your life because you're always wanting something. Reaching for those things will never bring you joy. And Paul is saying, look, no matter what you're going through in life, you can have peace and contentment through Christ if you'll get your eyes on Jesus. So I wonder this morning as we close, what is it in your life that's bringing you discontentment? What is it, that thing that you just got to have, but it's causing a lack of peace in you? Are you struggling with covetousness? What's the answer to that biblically? Give. Learn to give to people. Are you always in need of new things? Or have you learned to be okay with what you have? Have you learned through faith that you can make it through anything? So I just leave you with that today. Are we content with Jesus? Are we content with God? Or is there always something in us that's yearning for something more? You're never going to have peace that way. Father, I pray that you'd help us today to learn contentment. We have to learn it. It's not easy because we want things. We have to learn to rely upon you, to live by faith in God, to not rely upon, this is going to make me happy if I just get the new one of these. No, our true joy and peace will only come through our relationship with you, Lord. Help us to learn that. I pray that if there's anybody here today that does not know the true peace that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ, I pray that they would today desire to know Christ as their Savior. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.